from faith to faith. Jesus said in these words of encouragement to his disciples before he went to the cross, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." What were the things our Lord spoke to his disciples? He would be leaving them. He would be going to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And they will experience trying times. Jesus says that when I ascend to heaven, tribulation would come upon you. But Jesus assured them of ultimate victory as they looked to him in faith for overcoming strength. And so Jesus is saying to them, and Jesus is saying to us, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that when we begin the journey of faith, when we believe and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus has already made us, or enabled us, that we would one day cross the finishing line. And the Lord Jesus is saying that I have overcome. I have given you the victory. And so this is a difference in our Christian life journey. You know the end from the beginning. You don't begin without knowing that you are going to be successful at the end of the journey. What encouragement and comfort to believers. We have a hope in our life, in life where the world does not know of. And the Lord tells us that there is a multitude of witnesses who has gone before us. And what we need to do is to run this race with patience, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the Lord wants us to see and know that this life that we have with God is a life which involves a cleaving and a blessing. Jesus said, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Ye abide in me, and ye shall bring forth much fruit." Indeed, this was what Elijah would have to learn and would experience as he encounter God in his life, as he seek to do the will of God in his life. John Calvin was one of the greatest theologians who ever lived. And he made this comment concerning his walk with God. He said, "I gave up all for Christ, and what have I found? I have found everything in Christ." And so as we sing the hymn, you know, "So Send I You," oftentimes we feel that when God would want us to follow him, the challenge seems so great. The task seems so impossible. But the Lord tells us that if you have me with you, and if I have deemed fit that to accomplish my glory in your life, then when you would patiently follow, you would experience my glory. And you see this in the life of Elijah. And God wants us to see and understand that we have a God who is faithful. We can rely upon him to go through life's journey, to have the ultimate victory. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, the Apostle Paul said, God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What great relationship we have with our God. He is our all-sufficiency. With him, we have everything. And so the prophet Elijah was called by God to a most insurmountable task. He, one man, is going to confront the evil regime of Ahab. Right? Ahab was king of the northern kingdom. No mean man. Right? He controlled armies. He controls the nation, and all political power, economic power is with him, and all religious power. If you know Ahab, you would survive in the northern kingdom. But if you don't know Ahab, well, life is going to be really tough. But God had called him to confront Ahab and his evil kingdom. And he had just announced a drought upon the land for years to come. And so, as the days go by, when there was no rain forthcoming, you see that Elijah would be the target of the king's wrath. God directed him to this hiding place in Cherith, beyond the Jordan River. And so after he came out of the blue from nowhere and pronounced a judgment upon the kingdom, then God said to him to disappear. God found a place of refuge for him. And there God provided him food. We said raven couriers. Food catering service twice a day. And, you know, the food would just come. He doesn't have to call. But it would be brought to his doorstep. And he would have a free flow of drinks in this catering service that God provided for him. And just like, you know, our sister Ivy, how God is so good, you know, provided a catering service twice a day. And now that she's in the hospital, the Lord, you know, provided for her very good meals. Just 2 days ago, we was at a treat on Monday. We were there at lunchtime. Very good meal, pumpkin, soft with rice and soup, and, you know, very soft chicken cooked into a very nice broth. And, you know, she ate almost most of it, putting on the dentures and enjoying the food. And how God is so good. We can see the hand of God taking care. Elijah experienced the sufficiency of God. He saw the faithfulness of God. And all this went on for nearly a year. You know, water would flow from the brook and food would come through the ravens. This is our life with God. God provides for us. God takes care of us. And then a crisis situation comes. Suddenly, the brook stopped providing fresh water. Verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. This is our first thought. Keeping faith in adversity. It was a crisis moment for Elijah when the brook dried up. where is he going to find sustenance in the barrenness of the wilderness? Life often confronts us with crisis situations when our brook dried up. It could be a sudden loss of job. It could be a sickness that renders us unfit for work. How to survive? Many mouths to feed. What to do? Perhaps we are told, you know, that tomorrow these premises are not available. You have to go look for another place. What do we do? We think of the impossibility of finding another place. Right there, when we hear the news, we are confronted with a crisis. And at that point in time, you feel yourself at a loss as to what to do. Humanly speaking, right, you don't have a crystal ball to see the future, and your limited wisdom tells you that no way out. You felt a sense of loss, a sense of loneliness, and perhaps a sense of abandonment. This is a time when, as a child of God, we need to be still to hear the voice of God directing us in the next step. It was the Lord who led us here when we needed a place for worship. And therefore, it must be our conviction that He already had a plan lined up for us. God doesn't work with a plan B. As the Apostle Paul encouraged the Philippian Christians with these words, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so the life of faith is not a bed of roses. Adversity comes. God calls us to serve Him. And we are confronted with a situation. So this first thought, keeping faith in adversity, when the brook dries up, that's where, you know, we have to realize that God has not abandoned us. In fact, God is surely very close to us. That's the second thought. Waiting upon God to show the way, verse 8 and 9. Keeping faith in adversity, and waiting upon God to show the way. Verse 8 says, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. But before the conjunction "and" was written, there in verse 8, you read, you see the word "and", you realize that there is a time of silence, right? From the time the brook dried up to the time when, you know, God would speak. Oftentimes, you know, it is not a situation where, you know, things are synchronized and you hear the voice of God saying to you, okay, do this. Oftentimes, before the Lord show us the next step, there is a time of waiting upon God where we need to learn to be still before Him. And the psalmist shared his experience, what he did during those crisis moments in his life. And these crisis moments will come in the believer's life. God will send you through trials, and you need to realize that God has not abandoned you, just like Elijah in his experience when he saw the brook dried up. He looked to God in prayer. The prayer meeting became a focal point to seek to know the will of God. He would be pleading before the throne of grace as he sought direction from God. Psalm 13 is an experience that the psalmist went through when he waited upon God. In those times where he hasn't received an answer from God, the psalmist said, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. So, you see here the psalmist in his private moment, in his communion with God. We would go through this time of soul searching, this time of waiting upon God. And, you know, do not be surprised, right, if you express the same sentiment as what the psalmist would do. He asked God, how long? How long? And then he said in verse 5, but I have trusted in thy mercy. The psalmist declared that he had trusted in God's mercy in those moments of waiting. In that crisis situation, he pleaded for God's mercy. He knew he was undeserving. God does not have to answer, but he knew that God never fails to show mercy each time he pleaded with him at the mercy seat. The mercy of God endureth forever. His testimony of faith for our learning is that God will certainly help you. That's why he said at the end of verse 5 in Psalm 13, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Of course, for Elijah, the drying up of the brook means certain death for him in the barren wilderness if there is no supply forthcoming. Perhaps some cold sweat as he thinks what to do. Humanly speaking, he was in a precarious state. He would be a wanted man, hunted by the king. He cannot expose himself to go to the city without endangering his life. He was ready to trust God to make a way for him. And God brings us through such crisis situations so that we may learn to trust God, that we may learn to wait upon God, to see the glory of God manifested in our lives. The psalmist rejoiced in the faithfulness of God. And the Lord wants us to understand this important lesson of waiting upon God to show the way. He would not run before God, but he would be willing to wait upon God. And this rejoicing of the psalmist comes before he could see what God will do for him. This is the kind of faith God wants his children to cultivate whenever he places them in a trial. And so when he has prayed through, he has committed his life to God, he was willing to surrender the outcome to God. And verse 6 says, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He was able to look with the eyes of faith that God will certainly do him good and show mercy towards him. God's mercy toward him, his people, is unfailing. This we need to know by faith, that we shall be dealt bountifully. Verse 8 tells us. We said the end, from the time the brook was dried up, right, to the point when the Lord speaks to him. And the Lord and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Interestingly, God will provide a poor widow to sustain him at a place called Zarephath. And the word Zarephath means a smelting place, a crucible, a place of testing. And so God showed him the way. And we are to respond to God's call with obedience. Right? So the third thought in verse 10, walking upon God's directed way. Right? We said, keeping faith in adversity, verse 7. Waiting upon God to show the way, verse 8 and 9. And walking upon God's direct way, verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, he saw the widow woman. All right, if you look at the map below, this is a journey from the Jordan River, which is very close to the place, you know, right in the middle of the map, the Jordan River on the right side, right closer to the Dead Sea. He was supposed to move all the way north towards the western coast. Right, you see Zarephath there at the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea, after Zidon from the top. In the land of Phoenicia, about 136 kilometers. So God said to him that he is to make that journey there. And you can imagine the journey is going to be fraught with danger. Right? There would be many outposts, right, whereby, you know, the soldiers of Ahab's army, right, would be looking out for that wanted man, and he would be a fugitive, right, running for his life. And so God said to him, go there. And God said to him, go to that poor widow's house. And sometimes, you know, as we think about the places that God directs us to go to, you know, in our own finite wisdom, we would question God. You know, we would say, God, you bring me to that place, to that widow. What can she do to help? Right? And indeed, this was the situation. This widow was down to her last meal. She was about to take that last meal. And then, together with her son, they would be prepared to die of hunger. Remember, the rain hasn't come for more than a year already. And life has become very hard. And for the poor, right, when a famine comes, it would hit them first. They will be first to die. First to experience the ravage of the famine. So Elijah must be asking himself this question. Why Zarephath? Why go to this widow? sometimes God, you know, sent us from one job to another job, and we ask ourselves, Lord, you directed me, you know, I have an open door, and here I am, I went through the interview, everything was smooth, and then, you know, you look at the work environment, you say, hey Lord, are you sure you want me to work here, in this environment? Then you knew in your heart that this was where God wants you to be. So for Elijah, it was one test after another test. This test seemed to be a more difficult one. He's now in the open, and he had to come to this woman for help. And it's interesting that this lady responded to his call, verse 10, the instruction right at the end from Elijah to this poor widow was, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So he must be on his journey for a long time, and you know, in weariness, in great thirst, he arrived at his destination. And there she was, this woman, at the gate of the city. And so she, verse 11 tells us, she obediently went and fetched it. And Elijah said to her, I pray thee, give me also a morsel of bread in your hand. Right, that piece of bread that you have, give it to me. And she said, as the Lord liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may die, eat and die. So when he arrived at Zarephath, he realized with his mind's eye that this is the last place on earth that he want to be in, right? Together with a dying widow and her son. Well, God never makes mistakes. Dear friends, with God in charge, we need to realize that we are in good hands. God will use Elijah to help this woman who showed mercy to him despite her own lack. She gave her last to the Lord. And verse 13, this is the miracle of miracle. When we have God with us, when Jesus had only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he was able to feed 5,000. How was that possible? Well, God wants us to experience his sufficiency in our lives. When we put our lives into his hands, we see how he accomplished his own glory. Not our own comfort. His own glory in our life. And that is something that we must learn and realize. Right? Our goal in life is, you know, not about ourselves, but the glory of God. God is accomplishing something through his servant. And the widow did according to Elijah's instructions. She was willing to obey God and do accordingly by giving her last meal to God's servant. Well, you see how she will experience the power of God in blessing her as she cleaved to him by obeying his word. You know, today I was clearing up downstairs, and I found an old prayer book family prayer book. We wrote, you know, our prayer items since 2001. Almost on a weekly basis, we wrote, you know, pray for this, pray for this, pray for this. And so, you know, I was going through 201, 202, 203, 204. Wow. As I look back, I could see how God answered prayer. At that time, I was asking the Lord, is it His will to go full time? Is it His will to resign from the work? No. Much waiting upon God. Many things don't know. But we see God directing and accomplishing His will step by step. It's very interesting how, you know, we can see as we commit our lives into His hands, how He fulfills His will, accomplishes His will. And we have many needs before us in the workplace. You know, we were praying that God would give to us a second child. You know, Louis was born, and then we were praying that, you know, if it's the will of God, God gives us a second child. Then we see how God fulfilled His will. Then we pray. We said, we needed a second car. You know, my wife, I was doing my work, going around, and she needed something for the children to move around, going for the classes and all these things. And so we prayed again. And then indeed God provided for us. So step by step, step by step. And then God led us, you know, for me to stop work. Then we had to sell the second car. At that time, I don't need a car because I was going to FEBC, and daily I could, you know, commune with three direct buses there. So my wife took the car, we sold the car, and, you know, I discussed with Dr. We'll sell one of them, and then my wife will take care of the children while I go to the Bible college to study. So the Lord took care of us 5 years like that. So each step of the way, as you follow God, you know, you find God helping us, providing for us, making a way for us. Jesus says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And then he says in John 15 verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Would Elijah die? He still has the work of confronting Ahab. You know, after the 3.5 year drought, would God allow him to die? His work is not finished yet. God is going to provide for him. But how is God going to provide for him? In a most unusual way. Right? Directing him to a poor widow with nothing left, and how God is going to use the widow to provide shelter and sustenance to Elijah during this time as he waited out before God would direct him to confront Ahab again. And so our text tells in verse 15, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. The widow experienced God's provision when she obeyed God's instruction as first priority. She saw God's faithfulness. Did not Jesus say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Indeed, we can trust God to take care of us as we serve him and do his will. When you become a Christian, you become a child of God, and your life is lived to the glory of God, for the glory of God. And as you surrender your life to God, God is going to take care of you. Humanly speaking, going from Cherith to Zarephath seemed to be a most ludicrous proposition. But you see how in Zarephath, Elijah received God's provision. Step by step, God led. Each time, it was a crucible, very tough. But each time, God manifested his power. And this is the Christian life that he wants you to live. As you cleave to him, you receive his blessing. May this account of Elijah's life give us the strength of faith to trust God in every step of life's journey till we reach heaven's shores. The four thoughts that we want us to see: keeping faith in adversity, waiting upon God to show the way, walking upon God's directed way, and finally, from verses 11 to 16, experiencing God's faithful care. May this be your testimony too. And this must be the testimony of all his children, because we serve a faithful God. He has covenanted himself to care for us, and he will not fail us. And we must have the faith to have the courage to be strong enough, to be brave enough to face the adversities that we are facing in life. And we will yet triumph through Christ who loved us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for giving to us thy word through the life of Elijah, life of faith, life of wisdom in overcoming the adversities of life as we make that journey from earth to our heavenly home. O God, may thou give us the strength of heart to trust thee at each crisis moment in our life, to behold thy glory, to see thy power, to experience thy all-sufficiency. O Lord, may thy Spirit come and mightily fill thy people with faith, and with it joy, rejoicing, and peace. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.